Well, quite a bit, actually, I believe. So Lily Eskelsen, as Utahns may remember her, is now Lily Eskelsen Garcia after she got married, I believe, last year. But she's still the same old rabble-rouser Utahns probably remember. She started as a school lunch lady in Utah, was a teacher for about a decade, and rose up in the ranks of the National Education Association. That's the largest union in America. They have like 3 million members, and she's going to be the head of the organization. And it doesn't appear that she's going to be quiet. She already joked to the Washington Post that her husband and her wrote a book about social justice heroes, and this was her quote: "I wrote it at a seventh grade level so members of Congress could understand it." She actually worked to try to get Obama elected, but has been very clear that she doesn't, they don't like the current education secretary, Arne Duncan, and I don't expect that she's going to just try to play nice. She's trying to get things done.
All right, well, we'll hope for the best. Thomas, moving on to other entirely other news. President Barack Obama asked for a bit of pause in the ongoing clashes between protesters and police in Ferguson, Missouri, after the shooting of an unarmed black man. Do you think it's going to help that the president asked for this?
We can only hope so. Obviously, this is a pretty tense situation since a police officer they've now named shot and killed an unarmed black man in the St. Louis suburb of Missouri. Protesters have taken the street. They meet heavily armed police officers. I'm sure your listeners have seen those images in the video. It's pretty scary to see that in America's heartland. Obama came out yesterday with a statement partially about the situation in Iraq and also about Ferguson, Missouri. And he really asked people to just take a step back and let's figure out how we can all move forward. It's a pretty tense situation still, almost been a week now, and there's still a lot going on there. The pressure is still really bottled up and coming out in some ways too. I can tell you also, I actually know one of the reporters who was arrested in Ferguson and later released without any explanation. This raises a lot of questions, not only about how police are treating residents, but also the news media, the reporters just doing their jobs. There was a video yesterday of a police shooting a tear gas at an Al Jazeera film crew and then shooting at them with rubber bullets, which is not what we want to see in the United States.
No, it isn't. And that we cherish our freedom of the press, and that's a sad thing to see in America. We've seen the images and the video from Ferguson, and the police forces there seem to be almost military-like. Is that a trend that we're seeing across the country?
Absolutely. In fact, there's a new report today from the Post that shows the military has provided $4.3 billion in leftover equipment to police agencies across the country. And just note there's a $500 million of that just came in the last year. My colleague Nate Carlisle of the Tribune dug up this earlier this year and showed nearly $3 million in used equipment was given to Utah police agencies across the state. And we're not just talking like old computers or pickups, but RAVs, grenade launchers, some serious tactical equipment. And in fact, I was just reading a story a few minutes ago about the form that a police agency uses to ask for this equipment. It's one page long. And I'm not joking. It's literally one page long. It takes a heck of a lot more pages just to file a simple tax return or apply for benefits or any of those kind of things. So one page, a police agency submits it to the Pentagon, and they can get all this used equipment.
So a couple of check marks on some boxes on a one-page form, and the Pentagon sends you your armor-plated vehicles, etc.
Yeah, it actually helps if they're in some kind of they call it a high-intensity drug area. If you're in one of those areas, it's easier actually to get the military equipment. And a lot of police agencies say, with the increase in power from criminals, that they need some of these weapons, especially SWAT teams when dealing with hostage standoffs or people with their own grenade launchers or things like that. But then it comes down to these are protesters on a street, and they're met with an RAV and guys with, semi-automatic weapons. It's a pretty scary standoff situation.
A scary standoff situation, definitely. And Thomas, I'm going to let you go in just a second, but it seems also like a lot of the focus since the events unfolded there in Ferguson, has been on the militarization of police forces. But the role of race in profiling, the disproportionate use of force against black men. These are issues that are the underlying cause of what's playing out on the nightly news. Can you comment on that at all?
You know, it's amazing to think that, maybe that we all have these ideals that the nation elected its first black president, that maybe we're transitioning into kind of a post-racial society. But it's very clear that's not the case. And America is still kind of a tinderbox when it comes to racial issues. And people, are really concerned about how, police treat a black person versus a white person, or how the media treats the same. It just goes to prove that we still have a long way to go.
Absolutely. Thomas Burr, I really appreciate you taking the time to bring us the news from Washington and around the country today. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger.
Thomas Burr is Washington correspondent for the Salt Lake Tribune and author of Political Cornflakes. He joins us weekly for this discussion, and you can find a link to Political Cornflakes on our website, kcpw.org. I'm Roger McDonough with KCPW News.